Or to live is my career, to die is to lose. To live is my comfort, my reputation, even my family. To die is to lose. Only the person who says, for me to live is Christ, can say to die is gain. And so wonderfully, isn't it true that when you go to the funeral, the thanksgiving of a believer, the power and the wonder of the gospel is never more clear than at that point. Because whilst we may mourn the fact that they've left us, we know that they have gained immeasurably. So how's your perspective this morning? What glasses are you looking at life through? Is the glory of Christ the thing that is enabling you to look at hardship and to rejoice, not in the hardship that you face, but in the good that God brings out of it? Is the glory of Christ the thing that makes you think, I want to get out of bed today because I want to serve him and for others to see him as he is? Is the glory of Christ the thing that makes you say, even as you face your death, I long to be with him? Well, secondly, much more briefly, stand firm together to further it. Stand firm together to further Jesus' glory. So Paul doesn't know what's going to happen to him. He has a sense that he'll be released from prison, that he'll be able to go on serving the Philippians and others like them. But he does know what he wants for them. Have a look down to verse 27 with me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I'll know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving as one for the faith of the gospel. What he wants for them is to stand firm together, contending for the gospel, furthering Jesus' glory in all that they do. Imagine you've just been to the Albert Hall, some events in the Albert Hall, Masters tennis, a night at the proms, a comedy night. You choose whichever's most likely for a night out for you. You've just been to that event, and you've walked out of the Albert Hall as people pour out of all those different exits. And to your horror, you suddenly realise, as you go to tap your pocket and to reach for your wallet or your car keys, you're not wearing your coat. Your coat's still indoors, and you turn around, and you have to go against the crowd. And they're flooding out of that huge building, and it's just you going against the crowd. And as you struggle to make your way, you're pushed and shoved and buffeted away. It's almost impossible to get back. And then three or four of the bouncers by one of the doors see you trying to force your way back into the room. And they come, and they sort of wrap themselves around you, and suddenly you make headway, and before you know it, you're back inside the Albert Hall, led to your seat, reunited with your coat. See, what was impossible on your own suddenly becomes possible together. And that's what Paul is saying to the Philippians. What's impossible for you? To keep living for Jesus' glory, to maintain that perspective, to keep thinking about your life in those terms, is possible by God's grace together. See, for most believers, much of the time, we're like that lone person trying to battle our way back through the crowd. Maybe we're the only Christian in our year group at school. Maybe we go along to a Christian union at school, and sometimes it never happens because there just aren't more than two of us there. Maybe you're the only believer in your family or in your workplace. Maybe it's being marginalized in the family as the religious one, ostracized at work, overlooked for promotion because you won't do the things that others will. Or maybe it's simply that the conversation suddenly stops as you get to the school gates to pick up your children. Maybe it's that sense of desperation, fighting what seems a losing battle against the rising tide of secularism or atheism or Islamism. Well, the Philippians faced opposition right from the beginning. They saw Paul face it. And he was saying to them, look, there's no hope of going against that alone. Look at verse 27 again. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. And the end of it, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. As one for the faith of the gospel. Opposition will come. We haven't got time to look at it, but he says later on, look, that is a good sign. It is a good sign. It's a sign that you belong to Christ, that you suffer as he suffered. You suffer with him and for him. It's a worrying thing. If we never face opposition, it's a sign we're not standing for him. Opposition will come. And when it comes, we need each other if we're to stand firm and to see Jesus' glory furthered. So for some of us, that might mean finding out if there are other Christians at work, being more public about our faith so that they come out of the woodwork as well. Maybe starting a little prayer group at work, not being afraid to send round an email. Maybe it means prioritizing the one that you've always avoided, that you know that it takes place. For some of us, it may mean joining a midweek Bible study here at church. Or again, it may mean getting to that one that we normally miss, but getting to it more often. Why? Because we need to be together to stand firm in a world that is going fast in the opposite direction. If we're serious about living for Jesus and his glory, if we want to put on those specs every day that help us to remember Jesus' glory is everything, I need every bit of help, every day I can get it, in order to think and to live that way. Going away for the weekend, making plans to get back Sunday morning for church rather than Sunday afternoon. Why? Because I need you and because you need me. If we're to stand firm together in one spirit for the gospel and the glory of Jesus. That's what it is to be a gospel partner. It's to have this perspective. It's to see that Jesus and his glory matters above everything else, and to allow life to be shaped by that. Edward was at the top of my school when I went in as a boy at the bottom of it. And it was a great encouragement to see him living wholeheartedly for Jesus, even when he was mocked for doing it. Last week, he died of cancer. And his last words to his wife and teenage children were, "Jesus is everything. Jesus is everything." Man in his late 40s, humanly speaking, leaving everything behind, but able to say Jesus is everything. Because his life had been about Jesus and his glory. His death was to gain. And to be a gospel partner, us with each other, is to say, yes, that one thing. If someone says, what is Anthony all about? I say, oh, Anthony's about Jesus and his glory. That one thing will unite us together, will be the glue that bonds us. Whether you're a doctor, a cleaner, a full-time mum, a teenager at school, pointing others to Jesus in life and in death, that we and they would be more ready for the day when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why would you do anything else with your life? Let's pray together. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Father, it's very easy for us to read those words, to nod at them, to feel warm about them, and yet for them really not to bear any resemblance to the lives that we lead. And how we need a deep work of your Spirit in each of us, if we're not only to say those words, but to live them. But deep down, we do want to be those people. We want our lives to count towards that great day when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We want people to see Jesus as he is and to treat him as they should. So would his glory be more to us than it is, and the controlling thing in each of our lives, that we would be faithful gospel partners every day that you give us until we see him face to face. For his glory we ask it. Amen. Now, we've got 10, 15 minutes just to chew on a few questions. And if you've got a pen, you might like to jot these down. I haven't got them to give you on a piece of paper. So just write them down, three questions, and then I guess we'll split into slightly smaller groups and think about them, but I'll hand over to Piers for that. So question number one, how can we help one another remember that Jesus' glory is everything? How can we help one another remember that Jesus' glory is everything? Question number two, for me to live as Christ, what might this look like in my life this week? You could think about how might that have changed last week. What might it look like this week for me to say, for me to live as Christ? How might that have changed last week? And thirdly, how is it both costly and liberating to live life like this? How is it both costly and liberating to live life like this? Piers, over to you.